Blog Talk Radio.
There is a conspiracy in the land.
It's a conspiracy to wipe out the black community.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to log in, load up, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself in swag while sitting on your sofa sipping Ace of Spades, watching messages from the local sponsors, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Scheinberg administration during an uncut broadcast of Schindler's List. It won't consist of Instagram pics posted by Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Ben Jealous eating dinner together at the juice bar on 125th Street, showing off their current situation. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by New Nigger Cinema, and it will not star Nene or Flavor Flav, Cicely Tyson, or Tyler Perry. The revolution will not give you street cred. The revolution will not correct erectile dysfunction. The revolution will not make you an American Idol, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Muhammad popping champagne at your going away to prison party, because you got caught by every camera in the neighborhood kicking that dog and robbing that old lady. CNN will not choose the dumbest eyewitness in the crowd to give a concise description of just what happened. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Gwyneth Paltrow being run out of Harlem on a Vespa with a brand new weave. There will be no slow motion or ass shots of Buffy the Body gyrating on a rented Rolls Royce with a wet black power t-shirt that she had been saving for just the proper occasion. Real Housewives, Olivia and French, and the Kardashians will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if niggas are making it rain in puddles of sorrow, because black people will be in the streets looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no YouTube clips of parrots singing the national anthem, or Sweet Brown screaming she ain't got time for that. The theme song will not be written by Kanye West or DJ Khaled, nor will it be sung by 2 Chainz, Nicki Minaj, Taylor Swift, or Trinidad James. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a flash flood, flash fire, or flash mob. You will not have to worry about the gecko in your glove compartment, the tapeworm in your gas tank, or the Trojan man in your back pocket. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not spray on a darker complexion. The revolution will give you wings. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution won't be on demand, brother. The revolution will be live.
If you ain't down for the Africans here in the United States, period, point blank, if you ain't down for the ones that...
Hell, everybody that's talking about black ain't trying to be black. Everybody that's talking about Africa is not trying to be an African. The African proverb says that the best way to fight an oppressive alien culture is to live your home. The best way to fight and defeat an oppressive and an alien culture is to live your home. That's the best way to fight it and successfully defeat it. But we want culture without commitment. Dr. Maulana Karanga teaches us that the definition of black is color, culture, and consciousness. Talk black to me. What is the definition? Talk back to me. Color, culture, and consciousness. Let's do it on the count of three. Jai, Lee, two.
Color
is color, culture, and consciousness. That's what black is. People say, well, I ain't black, I'm light. But it's also having to do with certain cultures. It also has to do with certain consciousness. And with Dr. Maulana Karanga's permission, I have added to his definition that black is color, culture, consciousness, and a corresponding cosmic connection. All praise and peace to Allah. Black is color, culture, consciousness, and a corresponding cosmic connection. How do you hook up with the cosmological, natural, universal order of things? That's what we've got to understand. I call myself, you call yourself, or somebody calls self, I really don't, African-American. But are you really an African-American? Let's focus on that as the African poetry theater. You're not an African-American. How can you wear the X on your cap, the X on your sweatshirt, the X on your chest, and say that Malcolm is an example for you, and walk around and call yourself an African-American?
Brothers and sisters, let me know if you can hear me. Somebody, if anybody who's listening, let me know if you can hear my voice right now. Our chairman just called and told me that there's no sound coming through the boards. I want somebody to tell me if you can hear my voice before we go forward. I didn't even know that we can't be heard. So I want to kind of get these. Whatever's going on, situated. Number to call tonight, 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. If y'all can hear me. Somebody let me know if you can hear. I'm sitting here talking about all the stuff that's going on in Tampa, all the stuff that's going on across the country. And people saying they can't even hear, which is wild to me. So hold on 1 second. Somebody text me or tell me that I can be heard, because on this side, all the engineering says that we on, that we can be heard, that we live. That's what the engineering say right now. So I need to know that we not being sabotaged on this end. Yeah, somebody tell me if I can be heard, or tell me if you can hear, and text me or inbox me, those who got my number. Let me know that we can be heard. I need to know we're not being sabotaged on this side. The message going definitely going to get out regardless. That's even if we got to do another show tomorrow. We'll do the damn show. All right, let me see if we can hear. Brother Chairman, can you hear us now?
You back live.
All right, yes, sir. Man, this has been a really, really great week. And I was telling the audience, first of all, let me slow down, because they got me all out of whack. Let me, first of all, go through my proper protocol. And I just say I'm happy to be on Black Power Radio, and always an honor to come on. And it's an honor to be now working on some 10, 15 years. And we're going to master this thing. And I was telling you, Brother Sean Qualley, off the air this year, before this year end, we're going to be coming video stream live with Black Power Radio. But with that being said, let me just say we want to give credit to the Honorable Khalid Muhammad for putting us on the right path and making us understand that our people need this technology and we need to use it appropriately to uplift and free our people and build a black nation. And let me say, the man who's coming on later, Attorney Malik Gulu Shabazz, who kept it going for 12 years with a lot of great helpers. And to our host, as always, Brother Sean Qualley, thank y'all all for giving us your time and coming on and Black Power Radio and giving our honor to our God and our Maker for giving us the wake-up breathing air in our lungs this morning and shook us and said it's time to go back to black work. So Black Power for Black Power Radio and Black Power to all the new Black Panther Party that's listening and the Black Power Movement and our regular guests. Brother Sean, this has been a hell of a week. As Black Power Radio a minute ago was having problems, if you wouldn't have had no problems tonight, it wouldn't have made the weekend right. You know? And I just want to say, seriously, in my 20-something years of soldiering, before I ever met Dr. Khalid Muhammad, before I ever met Malik Zulu Shabazz, I had did events for Dr. Johnny Clark, Amos Wilson, Steve Copeland, Dr. Jeffries, Dr. Smalls, Betty Shabazz, Tosla Shabazz, Dr. Naeem Akbar, Dr. Deborah Blood, Dr. Ed Sims. I had brought almost anybody you name, Gail Scott Heron, H. Ralph Brown, Stokely Carmichael, I've had all of these people, Dr. Ben Carson as my guest. I've been doing programs for black people for 20-something years, and I have never, I've been doing protesting for 20-something years. I have never experienced what we experienced in Tampa, Florida last week. And it's on the topic matter where we thought that everybody would get on board and finally we could work as a unit and a team to help send our people up and stop us from committing genocide among each other. And Brother Sean Qualley, not one vineyard, not two vineyards, not three vineyards, but four vineyards counseled on us.
Yes, sir.
And the fourth one was so cold-blooded, the sister was going over. And let me just say, for the Tampa crew, they were doing proper protocol. They got contracts. They paid. They wasn't begging. They wasn't bombing. They paid the whole $900 for the facility. They paid the sound man. They paid the light man. And they would get the call. The old sheriff came through. The old police chief came through. You're not going to be able to do it. Time and time again, in the fourth place, the sister pulled up to do a walkthrough. The security guy was on a golf cart. The sheriff car following the golf cart to a door she's supposed to go through to meet the people and do a walkthrough. She get a call on the parking lot. The AC is out in the building. So after the fourth, we ended up getting a call over in Hillsborough, Florida, or the Hillsborough area of Tampa, Florida. And we ended up doing our first kickoff of Stop the Killing and believing and receiving banquet hall. I was so happy when they gave me the call, Brother Sean Qualley. That's when I knew it was all spiritual. We didn't supposed to be in them crackers' big halls. We didn't supposed to be in them crackers' big convention centers. We're supposed to have been in the hood in a round of black ran business with a spiritual name to kick off this Stop the Killing tour. And I'm telling you, Sean Qualley, and listen to me close on this, and everybody who organized would clearly understand this. Whenever you're doing an event and you make it public, you put your flyers out, you put your posters out, you do your radio, and then you change location, you lose some people.
Yes, sir.
But then you start on a new location, and you change again the second time. Then you lose some more people. Then on the third time, if it ain't Michael Jackson, if it ain't B.B. King, if it ain't some rap concert, it's for revolution. You don't lose the lightweight revolutionaries, because they ain't going to hang in there. You're going to lose some of your speakers, because some of your speakers and some of your guests going to start hearing the sheriff shut them down, the police shut them down. And then they had the nerve to say that we were violent and we talk about killing police, and police then killed 1,136 unarmed black men last year, and your hypocrite ass gonna tell somebody we're talking about self-defense and defending ourselves from your terrorism. You out of your damn mind? Look, let me tell you something, Brother Sean. Not the second place, not the third place, not the fourth place, but the fifth place was packed to the ceiling. We had a group in the morning and a group in the evening. I want to give respect and honor to all of those young people that filled the place up, to all the different organizations that helped us, to the mothers who lost their children in the violence, to the fathers who came and told their story about losing their children in the violence and how much they appreciate the New Black Panther Party in this Stopping the Killing tour and this Comeback Violence. And then for Brother Chad Muhammad to be sent over by the Nation of Islam and approved all the way to the top to Minister Farrakhan. That is part of Stopping the Killing, when you keep our black organizations working in unity and harmony and love with respect with each other. That's Stopping the Killing, because we know J. Gahuba, his number one thing was stop the rise of a black messiah. His number two thing was, when he was older and he said with some council of government agents and government agencies, they said, what is the number one problem? You're the director of the FBI. You got more information than all of us. What is the number one problem? America could exist in America. He said, the number one thing you should do, and the number one problem if it happens, you cannot let the black unite. We already know on record he said this. The number one part of America is unity of black people. Other thing he said, the most dangerous man in America is Dr. Martin Luther King. Come on, man. This man had more FBI files on Jackie Robinson than he did Malcolm X. Why? Because Jackie Robinson owned a black bank. Jackie Robinson could talk to the white and the black, but Jackie Robinson was black through and through. And if you go look for his seed, his son is in Africa right now running a coffee plantation. So I say to Tampa, to Sister Suzette, and to Brother Ali, and to all the Tampa chapter in unity and harmony, I love you and I appreciate all the hard work and all the struggle. And as Frederick said, without struggle, there can be no progress. Take the facility. Take the sound off the radio. We'll come back twice as hard on your ass. Because we're
That's
on a
right.
mission, brother.
That's
we're
right.
We're first class. We're not second class. We're first class. And we are here to stay. We ain't going nowhere. Our children are here to do science, to do math, to be builders, to be engineers, to be the electronic majors, to destroy your social media, to be the kings and queens, the goddesses and princes that we was meant to be on the square from day one. We are here to deliver the message, Brother Sean Qualley, that
yes,
we
sir.
Got one thing to do, and that's to wake up them dry bones in the valley. We are sent.
Yes, sir.
We are divinely sent. We are divinely sent to blow air, living air, into the bones that lay in the valley. And if we are spiritual people, we know them bones got up. And that's what we're about to do. We're finna wake the dead. When the dead wake, the world ain't gonna be able to handle us. I was watching, before I called in, I was watching Sister, a great Sister Oli, who's been around us forever, lost her mother recently, and she's going through some spiritual things, and I was watching her. She went back to Gambia, Libya, and I was watching the Libya president talk about the white man. Africa don't owe the white man nothing but to get his ass out of Africa. He was talking about the debt the white man has tricked Africa into. And he was talking about how the white man came to Africa with nothing to offer. Europe didn't offer Africa anything. Britain didn't offer Africa anything. The Belgian didn't offer Africa anything. The European from America didn't offer Africa anything. They went and robbed Africa of the gold, of the diamonds, of the ore, of the iron, of the zinc, of the cocoa, of the rubber, all of the European countries. He was breaking down how they have robbed Africa. And then very cunningly, and like they do with their Wall Street, and very in the suit and tie, they call it white collar crime, set Africa up like Africa owes them something. So I go back to the Honorable Dr. Khaled Muhammad in South Africa. He said he gave him 24 hours still, Donahue, not 26, not 27, not 48, 24 hours to get your ass out of town. And if you ain't out of town in 24 hours, we're killing everything white that's in sight. He said, we're killing the mothers because they are baby manufacturing plants. He said, we're killing the babies because the babies were bred to kill our babies. He said, we're killing them all. And they were angry at Dr. Khaled. But God damn it, when you go back and study, Dr. Khaled told Phil, this was war, one country against another. And Brother Sean, the reason I bring that up, because if we're going to stop the killing, we got to understand the warmonger we're dealing with. We got to understand the destruction of the African civilization, which is us. And we got to understand the stolen legacy, which is our legacy. And we got to understand that on this Memorial Day, they showing all of these Pattons and MacArthurs and Hitlers and all of these different white men at war. And they show old Churchill, and Churchill and his general started what they call carpet bombing. Carpet bombing, Brother Sean Kwali. Carpet bombing. Black Power Radio. It's when you get the biggest jets you got, fill them with bombs, and go into areas where the civilians are that are under all your war laws, supposed to be left alone, and you carpet bomb them all. And as you watch World War One, World War Two, they started carpet bombing the civilians, killing the babies, killing the women, killing the children, killing everybody in sight. And they want to get mad at Dr. Khaled like he said something they hadn't already done. And America started carpet bombing. Yeah, you're talking about killers. Mad because somebody want to act like them. So don't you get mad at me when I say they're going to kill the baby and kill the ladies or the mothers. You bomb every damn thing in sight. And America's a hypocrite because in May of this month, before it ends, 1921, you dropped a bomb in Oklahoma on American citizens. You dropped it on the babies, the children, the mothers, the grandmothers. Shut your hypocrite ass up. In Philadelphia, in the 70s, not the 1600s, not World War One, World War II, you dropped the bomb on the Moon family. You got blood dripping from your hands, dripping from your mouth, dripping from your control towers.
because you're a fucking killer with the instinct to be a liar, with the power to hold media and make yourself look like the Pope, and the Pope is the most destructive force on earth. Go check the record. You can't tell me nothing about Israel and the Pope and all these damn hypocrite-ass European white people y'all try to make innocent when they goddamn kill us and they control the power structure of the world. America controls the army, the Pope controls the religious factor, and the mafia, basically, and Israel controls the money. And they work as a team to brainwash us. And they bring in these drugs in our community. They bring in miseducation in our community. And they're going into our colleges with their corporations, as Carter G. Woodson said, the miseducation in the world, stealing our best minds and leaving us. Then they do the redlining in the bank, the gentrification in our community. And then leave us with nothing but to fight among ourselves and say, look at the killers. You develop a system for failure. And when people fail, why did you fail? You damn hypocrites. But we are scientists. We are professors. We are lawyers. We are businessmen. We are doctors. We are brokers. We are brilliant people. If we continue, Brother Sean Qualley and Black Power Radio, to blame the white man, another day we can give up on freedom. You can't get free waiting on your oppressor to start to like the way you smell, or like the way your hair looks, or because you bleach your skin, or because you tighten up your nose, or because you shrunk your lips. He ain't gonna like you no better. He's been proven for 450 years, going on 500 years. It's time for us to unite and do for self. So as we take this Stop the Killing tour to all of these cities, and wake up our people, wake them up with knowledge and power to self, unite our businessmen with these unemployed brothers and sisters with these degrees and these laborers, unite our educators to redo that curriculum, stop miseducating our children, to unite our churches to go back to that old-time religion, like the Deacons of Defense, and defend your community. And if all the real estate is owned by the churches, then turn on them damn lights and charge us for the light bill. Let us use those facilities for tutoring. Let us use those facilities for health care. Let us use those facilities for nation building and business classes. Let's turn these churches and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays into colleges, man, for the people who can't afford to go to Morehouse or Spelman. That's what the Stop the Killing Tour is about, Brother Sean. We're going and telling our people that this is our time, and we ain't going to let nobody turn us around. And I'm telling you, Brother Sean Qualley, Tampa showed us. I just told you in the beginning of my statement that I have never had four facilities shut down on me, let alone five. So we know we're on the right track. And I'm going to end with this. I know we got to bring up our guest and my big brother, the warrior lawyer, Attorney Malik Nguyen Shabazz. But I'm going to end with this. I told him Sean Qualley in Tampa. I told him that when we dig that hole, we're talking about stopping the killing now. When we dig that hole 6 feet down, we're paying the white man for that dirt. When we pay for that coffin, we ain't got no coffin manufacturing plant. We're paying the white man for that coffin. Most of us, when we buy the flower and the card that we get our relative, we're paying the white man for the damn flowers and the card. Even when we pick up the phone that Grant T. Wood put the transmitter in and call to tell somebody our loved one is gone, we're paying the white man for the damn phone. They benefit off our debt just in the funeral expenses.
That's right.
And I was talking about how now I've been getting calls all over the country of how a $1 trillion industry that slipped right in on us called body parts. So these young people at 18 getting to vote and they check off that they want to be body donors and body part donors. Black man gets shot in the head before they even get into the hospital and think about saving his life. They're checking his blood type. They're checking his lungs. They're checking his brain. They're checking his heart. They're checking his kidneys. and they're trying to see who's going to get these body parts. And we done found out that they're doing this, and they're ripping our kids' body parts out before they even get them to the hospital good. $1 trillion industry. And then they go chase, then they got the satellites and the cameras on every corner, and you done went by and did a drive-by on somebody with your eyes closed, and now you hiding under the bed. They're going to find your ass, man. And then they're going to put you in the industrial prison compound. You ain't never worked a job in your life, but now your ass will work the rest of your life from 17, 16, 18, the rest of your life, 78, 80 years old, 60, 50 years, $1 an hour, working for the prison where the white man has legally fixed up to return slavery to our people. And down there, I don't care what penitentiary you go to, if it's in Boston, if it's in Wyoming, if it's in Idaho, Nebraska, or Harlem, the majority in that prison is going to be black men. And Brother Sean, I want to respect our guests. I know it's the top of the hour. I just want to thank everybody who participated in the Stop the Killing kickoff in Tampa. We're going to be introducing the next city next week. And I want to thank the Tampa chapter and all of Tampa, Florida, and I'm going back there in a couple of weeks. And we're going to go handle our business for the people who tried to sabotage our helping our people. We're not going to let them off the hook, but we had to go first and stay focused and handle our business like college would have trained us, like Attorney Shabazz has taught us. And we handled our business. Now we can go back and punish the people legally and get some of them out of office who was against us. Black Power, victory for the Stop the Killing Tour. Black Power, thank you, Brother Sean.
Black Power, thank you, Brother Chairman. Attorney Shabazz hasn't made it just yet. I wanted to give Brother Ali a chance to say something for Attorney Shabazz.
Oh, definitely.
Brother Ali, can you hear us?
Black Power.
Black Power. Go ahead, soldier.
Black Power, I'd like to salute my national chairman and his team for coming down to Tampa, Florida. Also, I'd like to salute all the visitors, all the guests that came in from far, India. You know what I'm saying? They show love to the Stop the Killing Tour. Most definitely the speakers. I just went online and looked at the whole live stream video that the chairman and his team have out. Great video. The sound was perfect. Man, there were some powerful speakers. Salute to all my staff and all my comrades here in Tampa that was on the ground from day one making it happen. To other cities, you know what I'm saying, get the job done despite the obstacles, despite the white man. Damn the white man. We'll give him hell to the cradle, to the grave, like Dr. Khaled said. Black Power. Start the Killing Tour 2016. It's on and popping. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
As a powerful young man, let me tell you something. Brother, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm working around this bus. You know me. Let me get away from this bus. But I want to say this. A lot of people never know what goes in to organize. Because some of us, unfortunately, you know, we get off at 5 o'clock, at 5:15, the garage button is hit, it's going down. We watch the news, we eat dinner, we talk to our wife and kids about what happened that day, and we're in bed, and we don't go back out in the community. And we got so many of our people that if they just got on board and gave a couple of hours at a time, we can clean up this mess. We can clean up this mess. You leave the babies, some of us, not all of us. We're not the white man. We're not foolish. But a lot of us are working two jobs, three jobs. A lot of us are leaving the children at home to raise themselves, letting social media raise them. Letting these gangs that are violent raise them. Letting our rappers raise them. And then when we get the results, we blame it on the kids. So we need to understand clearly, Brother Sean Quality, that in organizing, everybody can organize. Anybody can organize. It's not one person we don't need at this table of stopping the killing. From grandmama to granddaddy to the doctor to the lawyer to the homeless man to the gangbanger. It's going to take a family unit for us to turn this around. We ain't going to do it overnight. We ain't looking for no miracle. We digging in for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
We're going to make sure just like we started it, we're going to stop it. But I want to say this, and then did Brother Shabazz come on yet?
Yes, sir. He's in queue.
Okay, well, I'll just end with this. We'll be on next week talking about the cities. I want to welcome my big brother to part of his DNA, Black Power Radio. And I'm going to stand by and listen because I know he's going to be powerful, like always. And I want the listening audience to know he'll never get away from us. The warrior lawyer, Attorney Malik Jabbar, does Sean Quality. I turn it back over to you, Black Power.
Black Power. All right. Brother Chairman Emeritus, can you hear us, sir? Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're fine. Black Power Radio.
All right. I think you may need to mute the chairman and Zynga. His phone is on. Okay. All right. Black Power, and my honor to be on Black Power Radio. My honor to be on with you, the host, the chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party, Minister Sean Quali, and to be the guest of the chairman of the new Black Panther Party in this day and hour, Minister Hashim Nzinga. It is my honor to be on, brother.
Sir, honored to have you.
All right, so what I want to do first of all is I want to take questions, a lot of questions, after I make a couple of announcements. And I want the first announcements I want to say is congratulations to the new Black Panther Party and to the leadership and to Chairman Hashim Nzinga and to Chairman Ali Muhammad and all of the sisters and brothers in the Tampa chapter of the new Black Panther Party. I want to congratulate you for success. For successfully standing up to opposition, standing up to trials, standing up to Uncle Tom's, and standing up in the tradition of the new Black Panther Party. Because you have inspired me this weekend, because I see many of you standing up in the tradition of the new Black Panther Party in this day and hour. One of the traditions of the new Black Panther Party, going back to the days of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, is that we have to fight and succeed against all odds. And we make no success, make no excuses for failure. And we have to strive hard to be successful against all opposition. When you are a militant organization, coming from a militant history and a militant background, then you can expect opposition. And so praise be to our ancestors and praise be to you, young brothers and sisters, who kept fighting and striving to bring our people the Stop the Killing message and the Stop the Killing tour. And I want to thank you for doing that. I want to say that it is a good time for the new Black Panther Party because you are now on a campaign, again, in the tradition of the Panther Party, hardcore, hard driving, organizing now going on in the new Black Panther Party. And you have a good message. You have a good program. Something, I think I got some noise. It might be from you, Mr. Quali. You have
Go ahead, sir.
Sorry about that. We got a good message, a good program that makes sense for our people. And it is a good message in this day and hour. Stop the killing. And so whatever has inspired Minister Hashim Nzinga to head out on this mission, Stop the Killing, I believe it's God and the ancestors. And him having a feel and a sense of what's going on in the Black nation and how best the Panther Party can help. And it's right on time. The movement to combat violence is right on time. And it is good for the Panther Party to narrowly focus in on an agenda. We know you have a 10-point program that covers everything. But inside of that 10-point program, there are specific points that maybe we need to slow down and focus on. Because in many years past, we tried to focus on a lot of things. And in this day and time, it may be best to just focus on some things or a few things so we can get a good job done. And so it is good divine covering and good divine intervention that has you on this mission of stop the killing. You will be received well in the black community no matter what the cracker or the enemy or the devil says about you online or on the internet. With all of the bloodshed, the homicide, the fratricide, the suicide going on in the black community, certainly you will be well received like a cool glass of water. You will be well received with the stop the killing message. And not just a stop the killing message, but you have to have a stop the killing program, a stop the killing movement for real, a movement to combat violence. Because as many places as Minister Hashim can go, he can only go so many places, and he can only do so much at a specific time. It will now take you young brothers and sisters like the strong driving brother I admire, Brother Ali Muhammad in Tampa and others. It's going to take the young people who are in the street, who know the people, know the youth, to keep this message of stop the killing in the minds and hearts of our people. And there are other levels to this, and there are other levels, much further levels to this, that we will discuss in the future, much further levels for. But I want to say that every, all hands on deck, every chapter, every chairman, every person that is in this operation called the New Black Panther Party, we don't want you just to cheer the chairman as he makes his moves in the field and cheer him. You must get up out of your seats and out of your chairs and out of your houses and even off them computers, and get out into the street. And you must have those buildings. You must have those venues, those halls. You must have your regular meetings. And your focus in this day and time is to stop the killing. Rise up from the grave. Rise up for lack of confidence. I'll go more into this on the national call that I will be speaking on tomorrow night as I help to train and retrain some of the newer members and train you in the tradition of the Panther Party and train you under the current instructions of your current chairman and your current chief of staff and your current leadership. But way to move out is what I say on that first announcement. Way to move out. Way to stand strong. Way to overcome opposition. Way to make me and Dr. Khalid Muhammad and all of us proud of what you're doing, because we know it's hard. And tomorrow night when I'm able to speak with the leaders and others, I'm going to show you how to make it easy. It won't be easy, but I'll show you how to make it easier in this day and time. We are one together. We are family. I'm your brother and your chairman emeritus. And so I have that announcement to make, and I'll take some questions on that because I feel good about that campaign. I like what the Panther Party is doing. It makes sense. And now we're talking about the convention in Africa, Worldwide Pan-African Convention. We have been called to Africa, and I'm going to talk about the convention, the National Convention of the Oppressed in Cleveland, Ohio. I'll make these two announcements, then I'll take questions in the Black House briefing room from Minister Sean Kwali and take questions from you all, because it's 9:17. So I just want to say in a word that we are gearing up for Africa. We have been invited to Africa. We have been invited to South Africa, of which the indigenous people or the original people of that land call what the white man calls South Africa, our people call it Azania, and we are gearing up to get out of here on June 10th upon the invite of Comrade Chris Sankara and the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, and we're looking forward to it. And it is in the tradition of the New Black Panther Party, it is in the party tradition to go to Africa. We went there in 2013. We were pioneers. We paved ground, not just for a cultural tour. Yes, it was about culture, but it was about much more than culture. It was about revolutionary culture, revolutionary training, revolutionary baptism amongst many of the sisters and brothers, they themselves or their uncles or fathers or others, and they themselves had fought the wicked apartheid white racist regime under F.W. de Klerk, P.W. Botha, and a host of other blue-eyed devils that go all the way back to 1666 in South Africa. And this is an important mission for the party, and so I want to say that the party membership and leadership must make sure that its chairman gets across the Atlantic Ocean. I'll get more into it tomorrow night, but I want to say to all of you, it's such an important mission. It is such an important mission, all of these missions that I'm talking about tonight, that they must have party support. And the chairman of the New Black Panther Party and the officers, with all of these revolutionary soldiers out here, their leadership should not have to worry on how they're going to have to get across the Atlantic Ocean, because a lot awaits us. And so I won't say too much further on that, but I want to say, when you hear a call for a mission, you must not underestimate yourselves at all in this world. Don't underestimate who you are. Don't underestimate what your capabilities are, or your possibilities are in this day and hour. You are the New Black Panther Party for self-defense, and you are to be the leading representative of boots on the ground black nationalism in the hells of North America. That is your mission. That is your charge, going back through Malik Zulu Shabazz, back through Dr. Khalid Muhammad, back through the origins of the New Black Panther Party, back to and through Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bobby Seale, Bobby Hutton, and all of the greats, Geronimo Pratt and others. Whether they like it or not, you are the inheritors of that legacy and moving wisely in this day and hour. Black power to all the Black Panthers who are listening, all of the Black nationalists, all of the Black militants, because I got something for you on my third announcement. On July 14th through the 17th in Cleveland, Ohio, I am hosting the National Convention of the Oppressed. On July 14th through the 17th in Cleveland, Ohio, I am hosting and blessed to host the National Convention of the Oppressed. And on the eve of the Republican National Convention, July 18th through the 21st in Cleveland, Ohio. It's on the eve of that convention. It is the National Convention of the Oppressed. And we have every major revolutionary group, every major activist, every major thinker, who qualify as uncompromising, they will be at our convention. And so I want to talk tonight about why such a convention, why it comes about, and why it's going to be a turning point, not just for this year in the Black nation, it's going to be a turning point for our entire movement into the future. if we team up and handle it right. And I'm already geared up and stored up and stacked up to wage a war and an offensive to make sure it's right. And so the National Convention of the Oppressed will feature, again, it is on the eve of the Republican Convention, and it's set up that way for a reason, to all those who are listening. It's set up that way for a reason. It is two blocks from the Republican National Convention. It's, pardon me, 2 miles only from the Republican National Convention, which will be at the Quicken Loans Arena, where Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James and all of the other boys are playing for the Cavaliers, headed on, look like, to the championship, in the championship, strike that, in the championship, as we watch Golden State in Oklahoma City tonight. But on this day in July, it won't be about the NBA championships at the Quicken Loans Arena. On July 16th, there will be a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, July 16th, there will be a national mass rally and march against racism, against injustice, and against white supremacy. And that mass rally will take place in front of the Quicken Loans Arena, and it will be directed at the number one white supremacist, the number one racist, the number one beast in the United Snakes of America right now, and that is old Donald Trump. We will be right on his doorstep on the 16th of July with a mass rally and a stage and a platform, and that will be one of the highlights of the Conventions of the Oppressed. So I'm going to cover the agenda, then I'm going to hush in 5 minutes because I want to take some calls. But I want to say straight up on this radio show, of no other radio show, that the mass rally against racism, injustice, and white supremacy against Donald Trump will take place at 12 noon in front of the Quicken Loans Arena, and it's going to be a showdown to remember. Because this devil, Donald Trump, is talking big talk in the hells of America. This beast has got a big mouth in the hells of America, and goddammit, on July 16th, he's going to meet his match. Because we're going to put our foot in his ass on July 16th and the 18th. And the opposition convention is coming for this goddamn Republican convention, coming for these Klan, coming from these white supremacists. Well, they say they're gonna get gun permits for their convention. Well, they can get theirs and we can get ours. Are you listening? They say it's going to be a lot of police out there. There's going to be a lot of police out there. Well, so goddamn what? We want to see a lot of police out there because that shows us the contradictions of America. Make America great again. When was America ever great? America great again. Great when she was lynching black men, cutting their balls and their testicles off, ramming them in our mouths, setting us on fire. Make America great again. I want to hear what the red man, the indigenous people, the so-called Indian have to say about that on Saturday, July 16th. I want to hear what the mother of Tamir Rice and those that have been killed by these police departments all over America and who want to be turned loose by both of them, Trump and Clinton, both turn these police more even on us than they are on us now. I want to see what the victims have to say about that. I want to see what Trayvon's mother and parents got to say about that with this beast out here, Zimmerman, running around. It's no good beast. Jim Zimmerman running around making a mockery out of Trayvon, making a mockery out of his murder of Trayvon, talking out of the crazy out of the side of his neck about Trayvon's mama, and then selling the goddamn gun for almost $250,000 with the blood of Trayvon dripping all over that gun. God damn it, his head should be taken out there in the hells of North America. Nobody should be able to see this cracker anywhere in the hells of North America without the lights being turned out. Black power.
Black power.
This little punk, this little punk bastard, this little bitch, George Zimmerman, you keep a lookout for this devil everywhere. Find his goddamn address. What we want to know is, what do the victims of this so-called great America have to say? We want to hear from America's victims. We want the world news, the world media. We want everybody to record the voice of the victim. Not these punctified analysts on CNN. These punctified analysts on MSNBC. These hand-picked, hand-chosen, goddamn pseudo-bourgeois liberal commentators and advisors. They don't speak for us. Who speaks for the black man and the black woman, the destroyed red peoples, the brown peoples in the hells of America? Who speaks for us? It is the convention of the oppressed. It is the convention of the oppressed. Oh, this sounds real radical, Mr. Shabazz. This is just real radical. Okay, so let me slow down for a minute, because I came on here to talk to the strongest members of our community. I came here to talk to the activists. I came here to talk to those who say Black Lives Matter. I came here to talk to the demonstrators. I came here to talk to those who face police departments in the street. I came here to talk to those who go down there and tie things up and shake things up. I come here to talk to those who believe in their Second Amendment rights. I come here to talk to those who believe in resistance for this part of the convention. Now let's slow down for a minute, and then I'm going to close out. The convention of the oppressed is also about self-determination. The convention of the oppressed is also has a lot in it that's going to help to heal and solve the problems of our people. Number one, the main objective is building of a united front. We have great leaders. We have great talent, but we need a united front. Everybody's out there working hard, doing good things, but everybody's moving on their own. And so God have blessed me to have a certain tenure and a time in this movement where I can pick up this phone and call people and get them to come, because I have relationships with them. Because what you saw Minister Hashim and Nzinga persevere through and succeed through on Saturday, he and I did it a lot, and I've been doing it for 27 years, meeting and overcoming all obstacles. And I've traveled thousands of miles in America on these missions and spent thousands of dollars and been through thousands of headaches. And therefore, the convention of the oppressed is about self-determination. The convention of the oppressed is going to be, again, the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. That major rally, that awesome rally, that controversial rally that I just talked about will be on the 16th from just 12 to 4. That's enough to come alone for just that, from 12 to 4 p.m. in front of the Quicken Loans Arena, all of the strongest and the victims of white supremacy. We'll be speaking and organizing in front of the Quicken Loans Arena, come what may. But the rest of the convention is what I'm talking about now. We're at nice, big spaces, plush, awesome, Second Ebenezer Baptist Church. That's 2 miles away from the Quicken Loans Arena. We're at 1881 East 71st Street in Cleveland, Ohio. Second Ebenezer Church. We have 4 days of black conscious, liberation conscious programming and services for a convention that you ain't seen nothing like for decades. Now, who's coming, first of all? And I'm going to move fast. Here we got, I am your host, Malik Zulu Shabazz. We got Minister Hashim Nzinga, the chairman of the Panther Party. He will be there. A new flyer is coming out tonight. Dr. Cornel West, whose reputation speaks for itself, he is with us for the Convention of the Oppressed. He will be with us at that Quicken Loans Arena. He's out there in Ferguson. He'll be out there with us. He will be speaking on Sunday. Dr. Boyce Watkins, speaking on Friday, because Friday is a whole day called Black Friday. Vendors, business opportunities, credit counseling, how to set up your nonprofit corporation, how to set up your LLC. Where's the money? Who got the money? How do I get to the money? Friday is all about black economic empowerment. It's called Black Friday. We have Dr. Boyce Watkins, one of our top and most popular economic advisors. We have the success scholar, Hakeesh Ami, also speaking. We have Sister Ifat Walker, and we have Brother Mike Roberts, CEO Mike Roberts, heading an entire day of paneling, of panelists, an entire day of panelists, an entire day of economic development, economic counseling, and economic opportunities at the Convention of the Oppressed. I mean, I ain't got to belabor it at all. As y'all well know, ain't no revolution gonna go forward without no money. Ain't no troops getting to the front lines without no money. Ain't no supply, no resupply, no vehicles, no venues getting rented, no flyers, no propaganda. You got to have some money. And you got to have some hustle, and you got to have some grit and some drive to get that money, and you got to have some knowledge. All right? So that's the Convention of the Oppressed. It leads off on Thursday with what? With the state of Black Cleveland and the state of Black Ohio. We come right to our local population, because our population in Ohio tells us that while this Republican convention is coming to Ohio, they want to tell the story of the real Ohio, the segregated Cleveland, the segregated Ohio, the old racist Ohio, and why the Democratic Party bids for Ohio and the Republican Party bids for Ohio. Ohio is a swing state. Ohio is a state that which way it turns during the election, whichever way that state turns, it normally elects the next president. And large part of that turn is Democratic Party turnout. And a large part of that Democratic Party turnout is critical that the black vote turn out. And so the question for you is, are you going to continue to be a lapdog and a flunky for the Democratic Party? Constantly going into the election with them swinging on you and you coming out and winning elections for the Democratic Party but getting little in return. We got to have this political discussion at the Convention of the Oppressed. It's going to go on. These discussions is going to go on. But on Friday, we're going to talk about economics and politics and how they relate together, because I heard back in the 80s also that politics without economics is symbol without substance. So we lead off again talking to our local population, the state of Black Cleveland, the state of Black Ohio. Our people in Ohio want to speak out and open our convention. On Friday, it's all about economics and money, because everybody raise your black hand if you need some of this money. You're a goddamn socialist, capitalist, communist, nationalist, feminist, whatever the hell you are. You don't lie to me and tell me you don't need some of this green in your black machine. Okay? And so on Saturday we have such, after our down march and rally, after all of that, we get even heavier. We got Brother Polite and New Covenant coming to that mic at the church. We got Sarah Sutton Seti, the generals. General Seti and our brothers from the Black Power Cartel, our family, they will be at that church. We got Irritated Genie, that's what I said, Irritated Genie and his movement, whether you like it or not, he is a part of the Convention of the Oppressed, has a major workshop, and they're going to debate this subject called Sexuality in the Liberation Struggle. Is the homosexual to be banned from the liberation struggle? Is the homosexual, the transsexual, to be embraced in the liberation struggle? Is this something the movement should be addressing, shying away from? What is Mr. Obama's role in this? The pros and cons, all of it. It will be at that awesome Sexuality and the Liberation workshop at the Convention of the Oppressed. You better check it out. Sister, I'm going to run this quickly and I'm up out of here. Brother Shaquem from the RBG movement in South Carolina and representing RBG all over the country. He's speaking at the Convention of the Oppressed. Sister Nisi X, the leader of the Black Women's Defense League, she is deeply involved in the Convention of the Oppressed. Sister Melanin Sue Tech from New York, the conscious educator and mother, she's speaking at the Convention of the Oppressed. Brother Sarnetta and the House of Consciousness, my homies from the House of Consciousness in New York, Convention of the Oppressed. We already talked about Ifet Walker, the Convention of the Oppressed. Mark Lamont Hill will be speaking Sunday with myself and Dr. Cornell West and Warrior Woman and Ernie Longwalker, all at the Convention of the Oppressed. You say, hold on, what is this with these Indians, these indigenous people? What is with them? I thought this was supposed to be all black. Oh, it's going to be so black that it's going black going to ooze out your skin. But we also have our friends and the friends of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And I also have in my mind a united front of all non-black peoples that are revolutionaries. A united front, pardon me, of all non-white people composed of the black, brown, and red, a united front of all of the peoples of color who are not white, lining up against white supremacy in America. That's in my mind and come from Malcolm mind, Khalid mind, Farrakhan mind, Huey mind, and Kwame mind. We also have here Imam Musa and Musa Shaheed and others who represent the Muslim movements in America, and they want to get into Islam in America and these subjects, Islam in America and the persecution of the Muslims and all of this stuff, the ISIS crisis and all of that. Our Muslim family will be represented from all persuasions. Brother James Muhammad from Florida, fighting on the front lines. I'll see him tomorrow in Jacksonville. He's at the Convention of the Oppressed. They killed our young brother, Vernell Bing. Oh, a police officer shot him in the back of the head, execution style, after a car chase and crash. Just got out and blew him away in the back of the head. No threat at all to the officer. I'll be down there with Bobby Worthy and James Muhammad in the morning on a legal mission supporting these frontline men. They're in the streets right now. Brother Zaki Baruti is with us from St. Louis. Ferguson is with us. New Era Detroit is with us. New Era Chicago is with us. Brother YG Preach is with us. All of the young folks is with us. I'm trying not to leave nobody out. What I'm trying to tell you is it's going down. The Brown Berets, again, are going to be with us. Brother Mike Roberts, I mentioned, would be with us. And a host of others from around the country. Brother Ali York, Brother Shah from New York, Attorney Jim Bell, the great civil rights attorney from Maryland, will be here. There are going to be self-defense trainings and a self-defense summit as a part of this Convention of the Oppressed. And so let me be quiet. let me let you know that a major move is about to go down, and it's not just an event. All of the Stop the Killing groups, Silky Slim, Silky Slim, and all those from the Stop the Killing movement, they're going to be meeting in Cleveland because we need a united front around Stop the Killing. There's many groups, many people out there trying to stop the killing. And it will be great to see the new Black Panther Party, who is now getting its foothold in that mission, to come and meet all of the others as we make our move. The Democrats have their convention. The Republicans have their convention. Neither one of them speak for us. Democratic Party or Republican Party, most of us are not even invited to the party. Where is the convention that speaks for us? Where is the organizing that speaks for us? It's the Convention of the Oppressed in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going to be quiet and take some questions. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. Brother Attorney Tom is pushing up on us. I want to go direct to the phone lines and want to ask some questions myself. Number to call 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. Get near your phones, get by your radio. We'll try to push past him, but these lines get shaky. Let me go right to 347-496, 347-496. You're live on Black Power Radio. We're talking with our chairman emeritus, the Attorney General, Attorney at War, Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Question, please. Welcome.
New Hotel Brothers, this is Bashan Garab, YourBlackWorld.net. I wanted to ask Attorney Shabazz, do you believe that there will ever be a time that the so-called African-American community will be able to establish a political party strong enough to run a candidate for president and to even get that candidate to have a successful run for candidacy?
That's a difficult question. And under the current set of circumstances, I would honestly have to say no, because of the construct of white American politics and how it is constructed, where it's a very two-party system. It's a two-party system. It heavily favors either Democratic or Republican in all elections, national, state, and local. And to therefore win local elections, often the deck is stacked towards your local Democratic Party, your local Democratic Party primary. There have been third-party efforts on the national level. You have the Green Party and others. You have other, and I'm encouraging, there need to be third parties, but I think they need to come up first on the local level. Yes, we are in discussions. I've considered a party, Liberation Party, and other kind of parties. I've considered all of that and still just considering. And so these, Brother Dashan, are the kind of discussions that we're going to have going into the Convention of the Oppressed. This is something that I have to talk to and consult with somebody like Dr. Cornel West or others, who Brother Roy Tatum and others who will be joining us, who are interested more so in the political system. But I can say to you in a word, we do need independent politics and independent political action. We do need to look at local school board races, local city council races. We do need to capture as much as you can on a local level. And some of that does not require you to be bound to the Democratic Party. Some of it will even allow you to be in the Democratic Party and achieve a certain kind of tactical objective. And so, Brother Dashan, these are discussions that we're going to be having and we must have, because it is true that we must break the two-party stranglehold on the system. And so we're in a discussion phase, I would say, right now.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Dashan Farad. Next caller, your area code is 813-452. 813-452. You're live, Black Power Radio, Chairman Emeritus, Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Question and answer session. Your question, please, or comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Chairman Mitz. Black Power, Chairman Mitz. Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Brother Ali out of Tampa, Florida. My question is, what are we going to do with this situation out of Jacksonville, Florida? Should we rally the state up? I know they killed our young brother out there. I'm saying we need
or what's going on up in Jacksonville. So I guess I hear from you and Brother McHale tomorrow on how we should proceed the state on helping getting the family up in Jacksonville some justice, even exposing the situation. Black power.
Black power. I appreciate your consciousness about all of the situations going on in your state, because you have an important role, young man, to play in what's going on in your state. I say that you should support what is going on in Jacksonville and follow the lead of the Brother James Muhammad and others who are moving there. I guess Brother Mikhail Muhammad and others. Yes, Jacksonville needs support, and so you should consult with them on how political support and organizational support would be best. You most certainly need it. I will be there tomorrow on investigations, and I think on Wednesday I'm going to have a news conference as an attorney for the family there in Jacksonville. And so, again, I say whatever you can make, you should try to make it. They're on the front lines every day. They've been in the streets. They're in the streets now, yesterday. They got many things coming up. It's a campaign. They are not just going to flicker for a little while and die out in Jacksonville. So they're not going to flicker and die out from what I'm hearing. I'm not involved in the organizing like that. But from what I'm hearing, it's a long-term campaign. Long-term campaign needs relief and reserves. Long-term campaign means that there's going to be a schedule of actions to bring about justice for Vernell Bing and to increase the movement of resistance against police abuse. So I say, yes, you're needed. Check in with them. And there's many things to be done and coming up for justice for Vernell Bing and your state, and greater coordination amongst all forces in the state, because that is what's required in racist Florida in this hour. Very proud of you, sir, and what you've been doing. And just know that you're going to be further watched also as you move forward. You will be further watched, so maintain your discipline, because your chairman is moving in the state. I'm moving in your state, and your state is about to be real hot over the summer. Black power.
All right, black power. Black power, black power. Can you hear me? I'm here. All right, thank you so much, Brother Ali. Tampa, let me see another call here. Let's see what we got. Eric Cole, 774-330. 774-330, your live black power radio. Our chairman Matches, attorney Malik Sulu Shabazz. Your question, comment, please. Welcome, black power. See if we got you on 774-330. Your mic's open. Last call, 774-330. Your mic's open. All right. Let me ask you, Attorney Shabazz.
Yes.
To touch further before we get off of the air, the objectives of this trip to Africa. I know you said that you can't get too far into it, but what is it that you want the people here in America, black men and women here in America, to learn from your experience in Africa, our experience in Africa, and the connection with our brothers and sisters in the mother continent? What should they expect to receive?
Yes, I appreciate that. We go to Africa. We focus on Africa. We put Africa as a priority in terms of organizing, because the fact of the matter is it's a worldwide struggle. And we are a part of a people. We're only in the West. Our people are all over the planet, and they are looking for us. They watch us. They monitor us. They see that we are the liberators and the revolutionaries in the West, and they want to be with us, to organize with us, to help to bring about what we call a revolution in Pan-African terms. We must build a revolutionary Pan-Africanist united front. And what does that mean? We must build unity amongst black organizations. And in order to build unity amongst black organizations worldwide, you can't just stay inside of America all the time. It does not work like that. We are only a part of black or African peoples all over the world. We are just the ones that are trapped in the West. Our brothers and sisters are in the Caribbean, they're in South America, they're in Central America, they're all over the planet. And they look to us in the West for light and guidance. They love Malcolm. They love Khalid Muhammad. They admire Dr. King. They can tell you all about our struggle. We need to know more about their struggle because they are us. Africa is important to learn and understand and to go and to be there because you have to learn about yourself and who you are and your origins in this world. And so that is spiritually important to any person, culturally important to any person, morally important to any person. Malcolm went to Africa and had to go to Africa for a reason. King went to Africa and had to go to Africa for a reason. Marcus Garvey didn't get his chance to get to Africa because he was blocked from Africa, but he was all about Africa. So we don't want to just talk Africa. We want to walk Africa. We want to understand that we are not just average persons going to Africa. Many people go to Africa, but there's a certain expectation upon this movement that we represent because they look at us as the strongest, the most progressive out here. And so that is why there's an emphasis on Africa. That's why we want to cooperate as best as we can with our host. Our hosts have called us to Africa for a worldwide Pan-African convention. And so to that extent, we want to be there. And I enjoyed myself tremendously last time. I know Sean Kweli did. We all enjoyed ourselves tremendously. And certainly we returned on a higher level. So, you know, there are many, many reasons why we should know more about Africa, focus more to Africa, and travel to Africa, and that's why we're doing it in this day and time.
Let me ask you on a political topic now. We know you're putting pressure on Donald Trump, and what do you say on the topic of those who may not be with Trump, but they're with Clinton, or they're even with a liberal like Sanders? Your thoughts on that?
All of our people are our people. Wherever they are still all of a part of the black nation, even if it's straight up a black Republican somewhere. All of our people are our people, and all of them are welcome to the Convention of the Oppressed, every black person. And so, yeah, I know some black people that's working, that have worked with Bernie Sanders. Some of them are my friends. I talk to them. I'm not in no Bernie Sanders camp, but they are, and I understand why they are. I know some other blacks, some in certain circles, and many blacks, and even in my family and your families, to those who are out there, who are probably going to be supporting Hillary Clinton. And so they're still part of our people. You know, all of them are our people, and many of them people believe in, all of them believe in what? Stopping the killing. All of them believe in better education for black people. All of them believe in protecting us from human rights violations, from police killings and others. So we got a lot in common with black people, no matter where they're situated. Now, you and me, we don't support no Bernie Sanders. We don't support no Donald Trump. And we don't support no Hillary Clinton. God damn it, we condemn all of them, and we have enough evidence to condemn all of them. But we are not attacking or condemning our people who may be even inclined to go slip in the voting booth and vote for them. We're going to talk to them about black nationalism. We want to talk to them about black power, and we want to talk to them about a third way and a better way rather than getting down into a fight with them over look like Hillary Clinton at this point in time. The Convention of the Oppressed is going to make it clear that America itself structurally, the two-party system cannot solve our problems. The two-party system is detrimental to solving our problems. And there must be a third way, including self-determination and separation and third parties and all of that. And so that's what the scientists and the scholars here are coming together for. And so, you know, it is what it is. You know, yes, I'm not voting for them folks. You ain't voting for them folks. But I will be voting, like, in my local election in Washington, D.C. I want to know who my city councilman is, because it's some things going on in my hood that I'm getting pissed about. And I want to make sure that I either got somebody in there that I can hold accountable, or I'm getting ready to wage political warfare in my neighborhood. Anyway, so that's it. We'll get further into the political science of it, but those are the basics. Those are the basics.
Black power.
You there?
Great hour, Brother Chairman. You know, it's hard for me to stop calling you. Being with you so many years. But let me ask you something very critical, because there's not a time for us to play a grown man. Been this a long time. Just remember that in all our political struggles, we would always call on Al Sharpton. We would always call on Jesse Jackson. With your maturity, my maturity, our maturity, understanding global and economics and international trade and politics on a whole different level now, what is the future of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, who used to totally dominate this topic matter now? As I see, if you invited them or if you even wanted to invite them. So they don't invite us to a damn thing. But I'm just bringing up that topic because we used to be controlled so strongly by those two people. Where do they fit in now with us at a new level now?
That's a great question. On one hand, I would say they get in where they fit in, because we have entered into a new era. And the reality of it is that time, mute your phone for 1 second, Brother Chairman. It's a certain kind of time right now. Reverend Sharpton is older. He's older, and I don't really know what he's doing, to be honest. I mean, he doesn't, and I'm not saying this wishfully, I'm just saying he doesn't appear to be in the best of health. We know Al Sharpton is big Al Sharpton. I've been seeing Reverend Sharpton skinny as a rail for several years. And he is not out here. Normally, the convention or the Republican convention, those would be the moves he would be making. MSNBC every night. Then he put him on a little Sunday slot. But he's still Al Sharpton. He's influential in the black community. But I have to be honest with you. He's not the kind of man that I would invite to my convention at all. And to be honest, he is part of what we're trying to actually undo the damage from the certain damage that certain kind of civil rights leaders did to us over the years, even though they did some good, even though they gave out some turkeys, even though they helped some people at some point in time, surely they did. I have to be honest with you. I lived it and walked it. They did a lot of damage to us and played a lot of games that set us back a certain amount of years. And now the table is turning to us, and we must hold a hard line. No more compromising. No more back and forth. No more supporting God and the devil at the same time. I ached and pained through that. The turning point came in Ferguson in August 2014. Traditionally, when Al Sharpton was representing, I guess, the family of Mike Brown, and Benjamin Crump was the attorneys, and they had everything on lock as usual, the spotlight, the media. They get favorables from mainstream media because mainstream media likes civil rights leaders that are not hard on white folks. And so they automatically give them favorable coverage because the alternative is a nightmare to them. Alternative is on this telephone, on your telephone. So in a short word, sir, in Ferguson, what happened was the people in the streets of Ferguson the youth and the streets and the movement say, to hell with this. We take it to the streets regardless. If we don't get approval from the pastor, from the family, from nobody, we are going to stand up and take to these streets. Nobody could tell them to stop. Nobody could tell them to slow down. And so a new era, everything broke in Ferguson. Malik Zulu Shabazz, New Black Panther Party, we broke from the yoke of civil rights double-sided leadership, which has hurt us. Oh, Shabazz, I thought you was all about unity. I'm about unity to an extent. This is what pisses me off. George Zimmerman today can sell the gun that killed Trayvon Martin for $250,000. He can get him any kind of money he wants, and he's got free to walk around with it. Where was the wrongful death suit of the parents of Trayvon Martin by their lawyer, Benjamin Crump? They all on TV every 5 seconds. Where was that suit that was supposed to go in against Zimmerman, the civil suit, that would find his ass liable, which is less of a standard than the criminal courts, preponderance of the evidence? And surely, like O.J. Simpson and the Goldman family, they had a reasonable shot at getting a $10 million verdict on his ass and a judgment on him. With every penny he would have got, took his home, his car, his drawers, at least do that. If you're not going to take his goddamn life, where was the suit? No, we just saw a bunch of goddamn TV, really almost taking advantage of that family, but now leaving them unprotected with his bastards out here talking shit. And so what am I saying? That them games that we have been played, a lot of these families is pissed. They've been abandoned on a legal level. They've been abandoned on a street level. They've been used. So now it's on me and you, black man. It's on this new generation. It's on the people that's on this flyer and your flyers. It's up for us to pick up the pieces and lead the way. Reverend Jesse Jackson came out. So in a minute in Ferguson, Sharpton couldn't call no shots. He couldn't call no shots on the street of Ferguson. He could show up and get a crowd, but he couldn't call no shots. He couldn't call no shots in Baltimore. I seen him one day in Baltimore. He ran in there, and he ran the hell out fast. He ran so fast his wig was flying. On Jesse Jackson, who is a legendary status in our movement. But when he came on the streets of Ferguson, he was ran out in less than 24 hours. I had nothing to do with it. I actually felt sorry for him. Kids and the young people and those ran him out because a new spirit has jumped up in these young people these days. They are uncompromising. They'll come after me and you if we don't do right, because that's the way that God has raised them. We're on to a new generation. So I don't anything more than my critique on them is not personal. My critique is their policies, and their policies to me have been outmoded. As we go forth, we don't want to disrespect them, but we absolutely will not let them gain control of any of this, goddamn it. All of that goddamn both sides of the fence and playing games with our people set us back for years. So now we have to duty bound to hold a hard line if we want to get free. That's pretty much how it goes.
Yes, sir.
But, Chairman, you have another question?
All right. Brother, I guess that's it. We just end the record.
Let me see if there's any more calls.
Okay.
I want you to make sure you tell us, Attorney Shabazz, how to get involved with the trip. I know there's some others that may want
to
get involved.
Go
yes,
to conventionoftheoppressed.org. 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 Also, blfjustice.org. Black Lawyers for Justice website, blfjustice.org. BlackMensMovement.org, and I'm sure soon NewBlackPanther.org, and that's where we'll be. All right, thank you. Thank y'all so much for having me on.
All right, thank you, Brother Chairman Emeritus. Thank you, Brother National Chairman. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we want you to make sure you go to those websites right now and sign up for the convention and be a part of that. Also, get in touch with Attorney Shabazz on taking your pilgrimage to Africa, to Zania, South Africa. That invitation is still out there for those who have not been. Go and make your way and get baptized in the culture of our people. It's refreshing. It's better than a cool Sprite drink in a hot sun. Get that. Give us a call, 347-903-0886, 347-903-0886, to join the New Black Panther Party, push for revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. Go to newblackpanther.org and sign up and fall in. We appreciate you. We appreciate everyone who took time to listen. Thanks to all the national staff of New Black Panther Party, regional and local. And be sure to stay tuned to Black Power Radio. Keep the legacy, memory, and spirit alive of the immortal, honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and all of our great ones. We push forward. We'll see you by the grace of our creating ancestors next week, Monday night. New Black Panther Party, stay vigilant. Struggle continues. Salute to continue. Black power for black people. Power to the people. And remember, black people are not free. Nobody's free.
I'm going to say this and I'm going to end mine. If you ain't down for the Africans here in the United States, period, point blank,